Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, NFL football fans and fantasy football owners. Welcome to another edition of the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show, the place where you get expert fantasy advice for champions. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman with NFLExporter.com. We are getting ready for Monday Night Football, and even though these two teams are well out of the playoff hunt, we know that there are some players tonight that need to give you the extra points for your victory. Or if you're like me, I'm actually looking for the extra points from another owner to help knock off another team. I am trying to get into first place outright in my division. And Javorius Allen, running back of the Baltimore Ravens, he was an obvious hot waiver wire pickup after Justin Forsett went down last week. The likes of Gary Barnage, Travis Benjamin, perhaps Josh McCown, and Justin Tucker, the kicker for the Ravens. Got to shout out Robert Edwards. He's one of our faithful followers and guys who's active over on the Facebook page. Hit me up a little earlier saying he needed 8 points from Ravens kicker Justin Tucker to get his victory for the week. So whichever way it works out, I certainly hope that you get the extra points or lack thereof that you need to pull off your victory this week. Got a great show lined up as always. You know the routine by now. We'll be referencing the NFL Exporter website, which is updated each and every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right before we come on the air and do the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. That content, the extra points, all the information is updated on the website on Thursday. Make sure that you are set and ready to go for your weekly matchups before kickoff on Sunday. The call-in number to the show is 626-213-5762. Make sure that you hit us up, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Also, follow us on Twitter. That's at NFL Exporter. And again, the home, the hub for NFL Exporter is our website, NFLExporter.com. For all the above, on Facebook, on Twitter, and the website, the spelling is NFLExporter. All right, to get things started today, let's take a look at your top 10 overall scores from the Week 12 around fantasy football. Matt Stafford of the Detroit Lions was absolutely spectacular on Thanksgiving Day. 337 yards, 5 touchdowns, also chipped in 13 yards on the ground. That propelled him to 34 standard points. And again, these points are in standard format, so in most leagues, there's different bonuses and different settings for various stats. So I'm not quite sure how many points he had in your league, but regardless of the fact, still should have been a top scorer. Russell Wilson of the Seattle Seahawks, just as impressive, 345 yards, 5 touchdowns, was able to secure 14 yards on the ground. That was good for 34 points as well. And we're going to have to look into the stat sheet here. I'm looking, if Stafford had 337 and 13 yards, Wilson had 345 and 14 yards, Wilson should have an extra point. So we'll make sure to get that checked out. But nonetheless, at least at the moment, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford, for both of those guys, huge days at the office. And how about it? This is the second straight week where we've had quarterbacks go off for 5 TD passes and the yardage very similar. If you think back to last week, it was Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers and Jameis Winston of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both of those guys had 246 yards and 5 touchdown passes. Here we are a week later, with Matt Stafford and Russell Wilson just 8 yards off of each other in the yardage category, 1 yard apart in rushing yards, and both guys 5 TD passes. So that's very impressive. And who knows, maybe this trend can continue and be one of your quarterbacks. I'm not going to lie to you guys. Lost a tough matchup this week. Had a ton of points on the bench in the league that I'm in. The quarterbacks get points for completions and so on and so forth. Wide receivers get points for catches. I have 130 points on my bench between Matt Stafford and Jeremy Maclin, and boy, that hurts. But I took a look around the rest of the league. I should be okay. I came into this week with the last playoff spot. I've seen a couple other teams ahead of me lose, so hopefully that works out for me as well. Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks, unexpected. He was probably in about maybe, I'm guessing, but I'd say maybe about 35 to 40% of people's lineups. This was not the expectation regardless. And if you did have Doug Baldwin, I actually know a guy in my league who he's just been hit by injuries, really didn't do the best job of drafting. But he had Baldwin in there and helped propel him to a victory. You're talking about 6 catches, 145 yards, 80 of those yards coming on the game-sealing TD for the Seattle Seahawks. 3 touchdowns. That was good for 32 points. One of those efforts that, you know, again, probably for most people gone to waste. Baldwin floating still on the majority of waiver wires. And for those owners who did have him in your lineup, he probably put up numbers unexpectedly to help you get a win this week. Coming in number 4, Ryan Fitzpatrick of the New York Jets, 277 yards, 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions, gave you another 20 rushing yards on the ground, 21 to be exact. That was good for 29 points. And, you know, the Jets, a team that really have been struggling lately, but back at home, and obviously they just own the Miami Dolphins. I thought the second time around, Miami would put up a much better fight after the Jets embarrassed them in London earlier in the season, but Jets got up 21 to zip early. As long as he's got Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker at wide receiver, he's going to continue to produce. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, nice performance at home. That was unexpected. Probably a guy, though, again, daily fantasy. That's all about just rolling the dice. You know, you hear all this stuff about formulas and blah, blah, blah. I don't buy into it. Basically, if you play, you know, maybe 10 to 12 matchups and you just mix your lineups up with, you know, guys that appear to have favorable matchups mixed in with some guys who, you know, could very well get off and the cards fall in their favor. Ryan Fitzpatrick certainly fit the bill for that this week. 29 standard points as well. Adrian Peterson, and I tell you, this guy, one of the few running backs in the NFL who just gets fed the ball time and time and time again. Now, we know physically he can handle the workload and doesn't take a lot of big hits. He's usually the one administering the punishment, but he's a lot of fun to watch. I tell you, those 29 carries added up to 158 yards, 2 TDs, also had 29 yards out of the backfield, and he dropped the pass that he potentially could have took in for a touchdown as well. And so Adrian Peterson, by far, probably right now, you're looking at the player who is going to have a significant impact and may be able to single-handedly bring you home a championship, as he is certainly starting to get a little bit closer to having a realistic shot at 2,000 yards. And so great job by AP. I know his owners are absolutely loving him. A year late for me, like many other owners, had AP last year and just was not able to reap the benefits of what he can do for your team. Coming in next, Phillip Rivers of the San Diego Chargers. No surprise here. 300 yards, 4 TDs, good for 28 standard points. You know, Rivers certainly struggled the last couple weeks, especially last week against Kansas City. But this matchup had shootout written all over it. And he certainly took full advantage of it. The trend continues for Phillip Rivers. You can just go ahead and etch that in stone. So if he's still playing next year, we know with Phillip Rivers, tough matchup against Denver, against Kansas City, against Seattle, against Minnesota, against the tougher defenses in the NFL, he's going to struggle. He's going to be average at best. But when he's playing against lowly teams, you know, with bad secondaries like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Buccaneers and Tennessee and all these teams who aren't that good, Phillip Rivers is going to put up the numbers that you are looking for in your lineup weekly. Had 3 guys tied at 27, Megatron, Calvin Johnson. Hadn't seen this Calvin Johnson in quite some time, but 8 catches, the key on 14 targets. Turned that into 93 yards with 3 touchdowns. If you had him and Matt Stafford as your 1-2 punch on Thanksgiving this week, those guys certainly should have been a huge part of keying you to a nice victory this week. With Calvin Johnson, we never doubt his ability, but certainly with the new offensive coordinator that they have there, he's much more aggressive, looking to push the football down the field. And, you know, Johnson was able to take full advantage. They had a rookie on him, for crying out loud. Certainly schooled that guy. You've seen him, I think, after the second or third touchdown. Poor rookie's just over there on the sidelines, just kind of just beating his head, just wondering what's going on here. So great job by Calvin Johnson and Matt Stafford attacking in a matchup that was obviously to their favor. C.J. Anderson, first time that we've called his name all season. And, you know, this is the production and owners were well accustomed to last year. This is the production that had C.J. Anderson, a consensus first-round pick, before taking a bit of a slide as live drafts were approaching, when you were hearing that running back Ronnie Hillman was certainly going to be more in the fold. But Anderson was able to turn 15 carries into 113 rushing yards, 2 TDs, had the 48-yarder for the game winner to put that one away for Denver last night. The thing you like about Anderson as well, much more of a threat in the passing game than C.J. Anderson, was able to reel in all four of his catches for 40 yards. That was good for 27 points. Sammy Watkins of the Buffalo Bills, lo and behold, the guy had 10 targets, was able to turn that into six catches for 158 yards, two TDs. Great job by him. I'm not even going to say anything. I'll wait till we get to the wide receiver segments when we do position by position, but great game by Sammy Watkins. How many people had him in their lineups? Probably a low percentage. You're probably talking about maybe 25% or less, considering this was supposed to be a defensive struggle. The Chiefs' defense in general have been playing much better. The game at Arrowhead Stadium, you have been hearing the talks get louder all week. You've heard it from me all season. You've heard it from Craig Davis, who covers the Bills on NFLExporter.com. You've heard it from Sammy Watkins himself. You've heard it from pretty much the entire football league. Just get this guy some targets. Get him involved. And they did that early and often. Great job by Sammy Watkins. This is a trend that you certainly might expect to see continue as the Bills look to get him more involved. I don't see how they can come away from doing that when he's able to produce at that level. It wasn't Antonio Brown. It wasn't Martavius Bryant. Marcus Wheaton. How many people were able to benefit from a 9-catch, 200-yard touchdown day from Marcus Wheaton? And I think coverage certainly dictated this. 13 targets. I couldn't imagine that Wheaton's going to get 13 targets again in a long time, but this was certainly the best matchup that Ben Roethlisberger was able to exploit with tight coverage on Antonio Brown by Richard Sherman and Martavius Bryant on the other side, getting Earl Thomas rolling a lot over the top. And so Marcus Wheaton, another guy, you know, when you look at this list, Marcus Wheaton, Doug Baldwin, Sammy Watkins, you know, certainly some players, and even C.J. Anderson, he had been much of a disappointment. A lot of owners may have had these guys on their bench, and if it cost you a victory this week, I know you had to be extremely upset about that. But nice job by Marcus Wheaton at a Seattle and Pittsburgh game. The scoring got up much more than we would anticipate. And then two guys who are going to round out our top 10 here. We've got Brandon Marshall, the New York Jets, just continues to be a beast. Was able to haul in 9 catches for 131 yards, 2 TDs on 11 targets. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick's favorite target. Another combination on the low is doing a lot of damage this year. If you have Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall going weekly, you have to like the potential prospects they can bring to the table. And another guy, I mean, how much film footage do you need? You have Brent Grimes. You've seen Brandon Marshall not only this year, but over the years. He's actually been a part of the Dolphins organization, and just nothing they could do about it. Just nothing they could do to stop Brandon Marshall, especially in the red zone where he's able to take full advantage of that big 6'4" frame and just out-muscle defenders as he put Brent Grimes on his hips a couple times to haul in a couple red zone touchdown passes. He's certainly one of the best wide receivers going in fantasy this year. The value you can't beat. Rounding out our top 10 is Tyrod Taylor, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. Nice game by him, 291 yards, 3 TDs, no interception. Was also able to bring you 46 yards on the ground. That is the thing that you do love about Tyrod Taylor, is his ability to hurt you on the ground. Picked up 4 extra points for you there as well. So nice job by Tyrod Taylor getting the job done. All right, look, that's going to round out our first segment. Those were your top 10 overall fantasy scores of the week. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the quarterback position to start breaking down the top studs and duds from week 12. Don't forget, we're also going to be referencing the NFL Exporter website, taking a look at some of how our top 10 starts and sits fared, and how the players that we expected to have the biggest impact on your weeks fared as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the NFL Exporter. You are listening to Extra Points live on Blog Talk Radio. Going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, so don't go anywhere. Football owners and NFL fans, welcome back to the Extra Points, the place where you get expert fantasy football advice for champions. As always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman from NFLExporter.com. We're going to go ahead now and take a look at our studs and duds from the quarterback position. We'll tie that right in to the players who we expected to have an impact for you in your Week 12 matchups. Don't forget to go to NFLExporter.com. You can go there now, take a look at our fantasy football page to see the information that we provided for you heading into your Week 12 matchups. And we're going to take a look at a minute. Don't forget, weekly, we have our top 10 starts and sits. We had the players we expect to have the hugest impact and some other great, unique and creative content for you to enjoy heading into your weekly matchups. Matt Stafford, again, him and Russell Wilson were your leaders. When you look at Stafford, I think just, you know, it's about the trends. It's about the patterns. It's about the time of year. And Stafford really got off to a very slow and shaky start. Had a couple good games tied in there. You know, against Minnesota, you certainly would sneeze 286, two TDs, a touchdown pass. But after that, against Denver, against Seattle, against Arizona, was unable to even find double digits in the standard format. And that's what ultimately had people shying away from Matt Stafford. Had a strong game in Week 6 against Chicago with 405 yards, four TDs. Against Minnesota at home, you'll take the 18 standard points, 256 and two TDs. But then you look at Kansas City, you know, poor showing on the road, one touchdown, two interceptions, was decent, you know, at Green Bay. And that's really what got the ball rolling back for him in the right direction, 242, two TDs, an interception. And I guess, you know, look at his body of work, like a lot of other quarterbacks around the NFL in his tough matchups, you know, Denver, Seattle, Arizona, at Kansas City, struggled in matchups against defenses with lesser talent, maybe against offenses that can't sustain drives as much. Oakland and this reeling Philadelphia Eagles team is certainly no exception to the rule. I think as things start to line up right now, Matt Stafford is a guy that you are looking at having some serious value for your fantasy playoffs. Look, this week at home against Green Bay, you know, can he put up 250 and two TDs? I don't think that's out of the question. And again, it's the offensive coordinator. We're seeing some creative play calling. This past week, Golden Tate lining up at fullback on first inside the 10-yard line, flaring out of the backfield off play action. You know, a guy that quick coming out of the backfield, linebackers couldn't hang with him. You know, attacking with Calvin Johnson in the red zone time and time again, being relentless, you know, utilizing Theo Reddick out of the backfield, who, by the way, has been a great asset to fantasy owners. If you've been able to catch him at the right week at St. Louis, that could be potentially tough. We know the Rams defense plays much better at home, but weeks 15, 16, and 17 at New Orleans, San Francisco coming in, and then at Chicago, those games seem to be very, very favorable for Matt Stafford, a guy who's been shaky all year, but certainly the value is there for him. Russell Wilson, this potentially could be a breakout game for Wilson. Now, we know that Russell Wilson is always good for 250 to 300 all-purpose yards with what he can do running outside of the pocket. He's a guy who usually does not turn the football over a lot. But we know that the Seattle Seahawks offensive line in particular has this guy running for his life on most Sundays. And, you know, he's a guy who has struggled. You look at some of his matchups, you know, playing at Seattle, playing at Cincinnati, you know, that game in San Francisco, division, a rivalry there. Teams very familiar with each other. You know, the Dallas Cowboys defense in particular is no snooze. And then the Arizona Cardinals. But the last 2 weeks, Russell Wilson has caught fire at home. I think that really helped him out a lot. Back-to-back weeks, he's got 260 yards, three TDs against San Francisco, 345 yards, five TDs, no interceptions against Pittsburgh at home. And so we'll be able to see if he can translate that over. You look at Wilson's upcoming schedule, he certainly got some value. You know, right now we got to get a Minnesota Vikings defense a lot of credit. Wilson certainly can go in there, and I think you like his prospects, considering if Seattle can put the clamps on Adrian Peterson, we know that Minnesota is very one-dimensional. So the opportunities for Russell Wilson could be there. But you love at Baltimore, Cleveland coming in week 15. Those last two games against the division rival St. Louis and Arizona, you certainly expect for production to be a tad bit down. But Russell Wilson is certainly a guy in weeks 13 and then particularly 14 and 15 at Baltimore and Cleveland who's got some serious value. Yeah, certainly thinking these two games can get the ball rolling forward for him. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think he's been steady all year. You know, outside of the game that he's been in, he got injured at Oakland, he's been double digits every game this year, and he's had some big outings. You know, at Washington, against Washington, he posted 25 points, and this week against Miami, 29. He's a guy that you don't in particularly think of as far as a starter. I'm looking at his numbers, 13, 15, four, get you around 14 to 15 fantasy points each week, depending on the turn. turnovers and fumbles and just the nature of the football game. You look at his upcoming schedule, and I think the next 3 weeks are to his favor. He's at the New York Giants. Week 14, he's got Tennessee coming to town. And then week 15, he's at Dallas. Week 16 and 17, New England coming in, and then ending at Buffalo. Those matches probably not too much to his favor, especially when you start factoring weather in. But as I'm naming to you, a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, have value. It's going to be all about the matchups once the fantasy football playoffs coming off, trying to find matchups that appear to be to your favor. Next, Phillip Rivers, and I'm not going to go into detail about Rivers. I'll just call it off to you so you can see what we've been emphasizing. At Cincinnati, 13 points. At Minnesota, 9 points. KC, 5 points. But the schedule's been to his favor. I mean, this guy torched Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, Oakland, Baltimore for 5 straight weeks. Came back strong against Jacksonville. Had an average game against Chicago, 280 and 1 TD. I think you'll take those 15 points. Not the expectation at home for Phillip Rivers, but this game here against Jacksonville did his thing. And then you look at his next 2 weeks, and I think this is a guy that you want sitting again. Either he'll have a Denver coming to town, then he'll be at Kansas City. But you look at weeks 15 and 16, he's got Miami at home. He's going out to Oakland, so certainly a guy who's got some nice value for you in your playoffs. Week 17 at Denver, probably a game that Denver will need to try to lock up that number two seed. You probably won't want any part of Phillip Rivers then. Tyrod Taylor, been steady as they come. And, you know, for Taylor and Fitzpatrick, guys who you picked up in late rounds, guys you picked up off the waiver wire, the expectation is much lower. For Tyrod Taylor, he's back fully healthy. I think that's the biggest thing that helps him, along with attacking. You know, this Bills offense finally said, look, let's just throw the playbook away, focus on getting the ball to Sammy Watkins, and it resulted in a huge day for Tyrod Taylor, 291 yards, 3 TDs. You look at his schedule upcoming, and he's a guy that you should have some interest in. Look, this week at home against Houston, I think because of how J.J. Watt in particular is playing, he's going to force the issue for it to be much more of a defensive battle. But at the same token, you're going to have Sammy Watkins and DeAndre Hopkins, fellow Clemson alumni. I know both of those guys want to put on a show or try to outdo each other, some nice silent competition. And so, you know, I would be kind of iffy on Taylor at home against Houston in week 13. But you look at the rest of his schedule, week 14 at Philadelphia, week 15 at Washington, week 16 he's got Dallas coming to town, ending week 17 with the Jets at home. So Tyrod Taylor is a guy that you definitely want to take a look at. I think if the cards fall in his favor, he's a guy who certainly can be a solid play for you upcoming in the fantasy playoffs. Tom Brady, great game by him, 280 yards, 3 TDs. We just see this guy continue to go to work regardless of who's in that wide receiver. We know Rob Gronkowski, and we'll touch base on him a little bit more in depth once we get to tight ends. We know that he went down with a knee injury. Thankfully, the injury is not that serious. I think Gronk will probably miss one game. New England probably figuring they can, regardless of the fashion it's done, they should be able to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, who are struggling right now. But Tom Brady just continues to be the model of consistency. Rightfully so. A lot of people were talking about sitting him this week, but I think he put that to rest. I think Tom Brady is a guy who you have to have in your lineup. Now, obviously, the matchups are what you're going to look at, and depending on what weapons he has on the field. But, you know, Philadelphia at Houston, week 15 should be a great matchup with Tennessee coming in. It's going to be a little trouble maybe down the stretch. Week 16 at New York, I think weather will certainly factor in that. Week 17 at Miami, if the Patriots have something to play for, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski should do a lot of damage there. Derek Carr, able to rebound strong. He's been one of your top fantasy quarterbacks all year. This should bump him up a little bit. If you go to the NFL Exporter website, on the front page weekly, we have there posted for you the fantasy leaders for the season. Carr, a top 10 play, and rightfully so, was able to rebound off a very bad game on the road at Detroit last week. Only 169 yards, 6 standard points, but 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, did lose a fumble, but 330 and 3 TDs for 23 standard points. I actually had him in my lineup in ESPN Fantasy League, and he came through for me in a major way. That's in the lineup you expect for him to do his thing. You look at his upcoming schedule, you know, at home against KC. I think that that's a game that you really shouldn't worry about him a ton. I think that's a game that, you know, he should be able to put up a good enough stats, and being at home to do it for you. Week 14 at Denver, obviously you want to stay away from that matchup. I think weeks 15 and 16 are the ones where Derek Carr can do the most for you in the playoffs. He'll have Green Bay coming to town. We know Aaron Rodgers and company should be playing hard. Those receivers match up very well against Oakland secondary. That's a game that has a potential shootout and fast pace written on it. And then week 16 at home against San Diego, a team they're very familiar with, manhandled the first time around. Obviously, pride is going to play a huge part in that one. San Diego trying to play a spoiler role if the Raiders have something to play for. And again, just the in-state rivalry, in-division rivalry is huge. But nice job by Derek Carr. Ryan Tannehill, I tell you, this guy is the ultimate enigma. Don't know what he's going to do weekly. And that's the main thing that had me shy away from Ryan Tannehill this year. Matchups you expect for him to dominate, doesn't play that well. Matchups you expect for him not to do good, he shows up. And it's about the stats. I mean, honestly, that's really what it's about for Ryan Tannehill. You look at his stats this season, three out of his first four games, he's 15 points or less. Comes back the next 2 weeks, he's 15 points at Tennessee, but then 27 against Houston, right? Then he's 8-10 against New England and Buffalo, 16 against Philadelphia, 14 against Dallas. Then he really by default, you know, this is a game that the Jets got ahead 21-0. So Tannehill finished with 351, three TDs, also had an interception and fumble for 22 points. You look at his upcoming schedule, and he's just a guy that I don't trust. You know, best of luck to you if you do. I would not advise you to trust him in the playoffs. I think just from an overall point standpoint, yeah, you know, if you erase the quarterback position off of it and just say, hey, you know, will you accept 15 standard points in your lineup? Sure. Look, he's got Baltimore coming in at home this week. That should be a favorable matchup. The New York Giants coming in the week after. That should be a favorable matchup. Week 15 at San Diego should be. Week 16 at home against the Colts. So really, Ryan Tannehill, the next 4 weeks on paper, has matchups that should not stop him from getting you a solid 250, potentially 300 yards, a couple of TD passes. But this is a guy who's very inconsistent, very erratic. They just switched their offensive coordinators. It's a mess in Miami. I think overall, just the motivation for this team is probably going to continue to dwindle with each loss. Their playoff hopes are pretty much shot. Kirk Cousins of the Washington Redskins, and another guy who's been all over the place this year, you know, 7 against Miami, 12 against St. Louis, 8 against Atlanta, 7 against the Jets, 6 against Carolina, 10 against New England. But the games that he has played well, and I think he's a guy without question, you have to look at matchup base. His best 4 games of the season, and again, that's not a number that you want to be impressed with, right? We're not coming away putting Kirk Cousins in the top 10 or anything like that by far. He's had 4 out of 12 games where he's had 20 points or more. Those other 8 games, he hasn't had any more than 14 points. So he's a guy that you really, really, really have to evaluate matchup. And I think playing at home is where you see him doing his best. Week 4 at home against Philadelphia, 290, a TD, 21 points. Week 7 at home against Tampa Bay, 317, three TDs, a rushing TD, 29.10 at home against New Orleans, 324, four TDs, 28 points. Week 12 at home against the Giants, 302 and a touchdown, 22 points. I think the thing that's really helping him out is having a big playability at DeSean Jackson back at his disposal. You look at Cousins coming down the stretch, and I don't trust him. I mean, maybe at home week 13 against Dallas, but at Chicago, a defense is playing better. The Buffalo Bills defense matches up well. And then week 16 and 17 on the road, maybe 17 at Dallas, but he's a guy I'm going to stay away from. Again, I think this week at home against Dallas might be a good play for you. A couple other quarterbacks to certainly throw in. Blake Bortles continues to do well for you. He's another top 10 quarterback, 22 standard points, had 329 yards, two TDs. I think the thing that you don't like about Bortles is he finds his way to an interception. You know, I mean, you're looking at Blake Bortles. He's thrown an interception in 7 straight games. It may be in some games even one or more. So he's got to find a way to cut down on the turnovers. Yet and still, a guy who has a very playoff-friendly schedule, week 13 at Tennessee, week 14 at home against Indianapolis, week 15 at home against Atlanta, week 16, that seems to be the sweet matchup for your championship round potentially, or part of your championship round or your semifinals. Week 16, he's at New Orleans. So I think if nothing else, this week at Tennessee, week 16 at New Orleans. And again, at Tennessee, as long as the weather holds up, you also got to factor in Allen Hurns went down with an injury yesterday. So if he doesn't play, I don't think you make that big of a deal out of it. Hurns only had 19 yards in the meeting in week 11. Bortles had 242, a touchdown, an interception, and a fumble as well. But I think week 16 is the one to just circle and highlight in red. As we've seen yesterday with Brian Hoyer and his return, anybody can get 250 yards and two TDs against the poor New Orleans Saints defense. Ben Roethlisberger suffered another concussion yesterday. One of the toughest guys in the NFL. But, man, he's just been banged up this year. Now, they're playing Indianapolis this week at home. That's a game that they will need Ben Roethlisberger. The Indianapolis Colts defense has been solid all year. Matt Hasselbeck finding a way to get it done against a Pittsburgh defense, and particularly a secondary that's young, inexperienced, and gives up a lot of big plays. And so I'm quite sure unless he does not pass concussion protocol, you will see Ben Roethlisberger back on the football field. And with the exception of a home game in week 15 at Denver, he's a solid play for you in your playoffs, especially your championship rounds. Week 16 at Baltimore, week 17 at Cleveland, Ben Roethlisberger is going to continue to be one of your best fantasy football quarterbacks. The interceptions, you certainly want to shy away from that. The one TD pass, I think that's surprising, but lit up the secondary for the Seahawks for 456 yards. That alone is going to garner the attention. Your guys rounding out your top 10 here with 20 points, Alex Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs, and steady as they go. I mean, you pull up Alex Smith, and you know, we've talked about some quarterbacks who are erratic and matchups and here, there, and all over the place. If there's one thing you know about Alex Smith, you know what you're going to get. This guy has not thrown, and I'm looking at Alex Smith, has not thrown an interception since week 3. And unlike other quarterbacks, that is why his numbers remain steady, because he does not turn the football over. You know, now, you don't expect every week for him to be going deep, but hopefully you expect the trend to continue. And I'm going to tell you right now, get Alex Smith, even if it's just to have him as a security blanket or a backup. He's got one of the best playoff schedules that you can find. Week 13 at Oakland, week 14, San Diego coming in town, week 15 at Baltimore, week 16, Cleveland, week 17, Oakland. If the Kansas City Chiefs continue to play the style of football that they have been, and I don't see that changing. This is one of the few teams in the NFL, whether you like it or not, the style of football that they play is consistent. Alex Smith is a guy, I take my own advice, I'm going to go and get him off the waiver wire this week, just as an emergency, just as maybe a strong play. Again, that playoff schedule that I named to you for Alex Smith is probably the friendliest out of all the quarterbacks that we've talked about thus far. How about the wily veteran Matt Hasselbeck, 315 yards, two TDs, and you know, another guy that's worth a look. I mean, Andrew Luck is going to be coming back soon, but you look at Hasselbeck the next 3 weeks, potentially you're figuring Luck is probably going to be back somewhere around week 15 to 17. And you know, I know it's going to be about where Indianapolis is within their division that's really probably going to step up the sense of urgency and bringing Andrew Luck back. But I really don't think there is a sense of urgency. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck is playing just as good as Andrew Luck has played. So you look at Hasselbeck next 2 weeks at Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville. Very favorable matchups. I know the name doesn't blow you away. He's 40 years old and so on and so forth. But we've really got to come out of our cocoon. We've got to come out of our shell. We've got to adapt. We've got to understand that Matt Hasselbeck has weapons at his disposal. The defense is playing well. He's a veteran who sees the field very well, and he's feeling good about himself right now. And so I think if nothing else, in weeks 13 and 14 at Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, as long as he can keep the turnovers down, he's a guy who will be a solid fantasy play for you. Now let's take it over to our duds, our disappointments from week 12 around the NFL. Teddy Bridgewater, I know he was not a guy that you're looking at as goodness. I mean, 4 points at Atlanta. And, Teddy Bridgewater, I've got some real mixed emotions about this guy. I mean, I understand that, you know, they're a run-first team and this, that, and the other. But I just need to see more. I mean, I'm looking at his stats. I mean, this guy has less than 200 yards in 4 of his last 5 outings. Let's not waste our breath. He's not a guy that you should have any interest in. Weeks 13 and 14, he's got Seattle and Arizona. Let's just put Teddy Bridgewater away for fantasy football season. Just a huge disappointment from a fantasy standpoint. Yeah, if you go to NFLExporter.com, Drew Brees was one of our top 10 sits of the week, and only 7 standard points. 228 yards, did not find the end zone, an interception. Just not the matchup you want right now, especially in Houston. You know, J.J. Watt, this guy's playing at a super high level. And if you got to make a trip to Houston, you know, unless you've got an offense that is high-powered, a balance that can run and pass, you just want to stay away from J.J. Watt right now. He is not conducive for your fantasy quarterbacks right now. Matt Ryan continues to struggle mightily. And at this point, I think we got to just look at this guy and say he's an average quarterback. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me. I'll make sure I have that for you this week on Facebook or on Twitter or on the website. But he just, every year, he just goes through struggles. I mean, you look at Matt Ryan this year, only one game where he's 20-plus points in standard. I mean, just you know, I'm at a loss for words. You have to excuse me in the commentary. But, I mean, 10 points at Tennessee, you know, 19 against Tampa Bay. I mean, you'll take it. They just turn the football over a ton. You know, 16 points at against San Francisco. But it's the turnovers. This guy, I mean, 5 interceptions the last 2 weeks. Just not productive. And I don't know how you can have confidence in him. I mean, next week at Tampa Bay. And I think it's hard to play. When you have Julio Jones at wide receiver, you think about some of these teams secondary. Devonta Freeman should be back in the fold. It's difficult to sit Matt Ryan when you just look at these games at face value. But, you know, week 13 at Tampa Bay, 10 at Jacksonville, week 17 at home against New Orleans. Those are the matchups that, I mean, how can you not play? Because certainly in weeks 14 and 16 against Carolina, you know that you shouldn't have him on a football field. So just continues to be a huge disappointment. Not quite sure exactly what the problem is. But he's struggling big time. I do expect for him to bounce back this week at Tampa Bay. He's a guy I'm going to roll the dice on, and so you need to have him in your lineup for this upcoming week. Jay Cutler struggled against Green Bay, and he really didn't struggle. You know, 200 yards, I think it was just a modest effort. 200 yards, a touchdown, 12 standard points. So you understand that. And look, Aaron Rodgers, he didn't do that much better. 200 yards, a touchdown, an interception, only for 13 standard points. So, you know, I think you respect for that. Jameis Winston, I think he had a bit of a letdown. Had a huge drop, though, by Mike Evans that I think would have put on another 30 yards to push him up towards 300, finished with 245 yards, a touchdown and an interception. I'm quite sure in leagues, again, where you have bonuses and just kind of different things that play into the overall statistics, he probably didn't do too bad. But he's a guy that, you know, being a rookie, he's going to have some games up. He's going to have some games down. You look at his upcoming schedule, week 14 with New Orleans coming in. I mean, if you see the New Orleans Saints coming, just I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. It could be Mike Vick. It could be Vince Young. I'm looking at some of these guys they have, you know, at the bottom of the list with zero. They're not even playing. I mean, I don't care who it is. Dan Orlovsky. It doesn't matter. If you're playing the New Orleans Saints defense, just put a quarterback in. Let's go ahead now, hop over to NFLExporter.com. These are the quarterbacks that we have. And again, if you go to NFLExporter.com, click on the fantasy football page. I'm looking at quarterbacks who we expected to have an impact on your Week 12 matchups. Carson Palmer did it, but he did it in a way that you did not expect. If you told me that Carson Palmer was going to come out with 16 standard points, not a single touchdown pass against the San Francisco 49ers, needing a touchdown run to propel him to 16 standard points, you'd be kidding me. I would not think that that would be the case for Carson Palmer. The NFL is a funny league, how it works out, but he's a guy that I'm quite sure. As a matter of fact, I know a guy in one of my leagues who lost by 7 points, and Carson Palmer had an impact on him losing that matchup this week because he did not produce. Cam Newton, Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, Phillip Rivers, all of those guys had a huge impact on your lineups this week in a positive way. Those guys really should have been instrumental in helping you win your matchups or at least be competitive if you didn't have a ton of other duds there. Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, those guys did not help your lineups this week. Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, they certainly did. Drew Brees, he did not. Brian Hoyer was a nice fill-in or bye week or waiver wire pickup. Eli Manning, Jameis Winston, both of those guys didn't do anything to help your lineups. But certainly at the end of the day, when it does settle, you'll take the double-digit points and kind of walk away being happy about that. All right, look, we're going to run to another quick commercial break. You're listening to The Extra Points with the NFL Exporter live on Blog Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. When we come back after this quick break, we'll run over to the running back positions to see what players helped or caused you to potentially lose your matchups in Week 12. All right, NFL fans, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Your host, Lance Goodman from NFLExporter.com. Once again, we're getting ready for Monday Night Football. I know there are people out there who need the extra points. We're talking Josh McCown, potentially Duke Johnson Jr., Gary Barnidge, Travis Benjamin, Javorius Allen, Kamar Aiken, Justin Tucker, I think should be the prime suspects tonight. Maybe some people in deeper leagues rolling the dice with the likes of Chris Givens or Crockett Gilmore. But I think for the most part, Josh McCown, based on what he did against the Ravens earlier in the year, without question, Gary Barnidge, Javorius Allen, I think those are the guys who hold the most star power. So let's see how it shakes out. A ton of owners out there needing the extra points, needing the extra edge tonight to get that most important victory here in Week 12 as we start approaching the end of the fantasy football season. Don't forget, go there right now. NFLExporter.com will be kind of bridging together the running backs who we expected to have an impact on your Week 12 matchups, along with these fantasy stats that we're going through. Don't forget the live call-in number. You can call me right now. Talk to me if you need advice, you have questions, you just want to talk some fantasy football. That number is 626-213-5762. Don't forget, check for me, facebook.com/NFL Exporter. Again, that spelling is NFLExporter. We are very close to 2,000 fantasy football owners we were able to garner since we started fantasy football training camp back in July. Very impressive. It's just a huge open forum and discussion where you can get to me easily for advice and also talk to, you know, rub shoulders with. You know, if you're playing fantasy football, we all have the same good things that we have going for us, or the same issues or problems or dilemmas. So don't hesitate. Hit that Facebook page up, send a friend request, join the movement, join the group. It's a great asset, as especially as we enter the fantasy playoffs. And if you're on Twitter, go ahead and send a follow over there. That's at NFL Exporter. Let's go ahead now and move over to the to running back position. Your top running back was Adrian Peterson. What do we need to say about Adrian Peterson? He's a guy who physically is able to handle. And you want to know why Adrian Peterson is leading the NFL in rushing right now? He's only got two games this year where he's 13 carries or under. He's averaging right about 23 carries per game. And that's what's going to get your production. You know, now with Adrian Peterson, if you understand the totality of him. So look, he's one of the greatest running backs of all time. Right now, he's got 18 career games where he's rushed for over 150 yards. He only trails, I believe, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, and another great. He has a legit chance of passing, I think, 25, whoever the leader is. So Peterson only seven games behind. But Adrian Peterson, look, he's got the physical build to handle the workload weekly. Doesn't take a lot of big hits. He's got every move in a book that you can imagine. He can run through you. He can run around you. He can shake you. He can outrun you. He's a guy who gets stronger as the game goes on, and he's in the perfect system. Teddy Bridgewater's a game manager, a young quarterback still learning the ropes. They don't ask him to do a lot, just not lose football games. And the Vikings have a top 5 to 10 defense. And so they're constantly on the football field, that being the offense. You know, the game is never so far to reach to where Peterson is just not involved in the game plan. And, again, Minnesota's defense is so rugged, getting three and outs, getting stops, getting turnovers, that it plays right into Peterson's favor and into his favor. So he's leading the NFL in rushing yet again. And by far, I mean, you look at his upcoming schedule. Now, this is the one thing with Adrian Peterson that there's a minor, a very minor reason for concern. And we're talking about the next 2 weeks. You got Seattle coming to town. We know that they're tough against the run. A veteran group who really understands, look, let's just do what we need to do to take him out the game. Their defensive backs can match up in one-on-one coverage with Mike Wallace and Stephon Diggs. And then at Arizona, another team that has the personnel to go in and say, look, let's just commit to stopping Adrian Peterson with Patrick Peterson, with the Honey Badger, you know, with those guys. They have, again, another secondary that can match up one-on-one in coverage. But Adrian Peterson, you have to love his playoff schedule. Week 15, he's got Chicago. Week 16, the Giants. Both of those are home games. You expect for him to have monster days. And then week 17 against Green Bay, quite sure he have a chip on his shoulder. That one potentially could come down to the division title. And you have to expect for him to at least do better than the 13 carries for 45 yards that he did last week in that loss. But Adrian Peterson, we just tip our hat to this guy. Shook the rust off early, and it's just been a monster all season for your team. C.J. Anderson, I think this is a guy who value is on the rise. You know, you look at the next 3 weeks, you really look at the rest of the way. You know, next week at San Diego, after that, Oakland comes to town, week 15 at Pittsburgh, 16 and 17 at home against Cincinnati and San Diego. So very favorable schedule. And even though Ronnie Hillman is the starter, they both get the same amount of carries, and Anderson still has more value being a part of the passing game. And so I think, you know, yesterday Anderson had 15 carries, Hillman 14. Both of those guys got in the end zone. They actually accounted for three of out of four of Denver's touchdowns. And with Peyton Manning on the sideline and Brock Osweiler in there, Denver's running the football a lot more from under center. Ronnie Hillman came out a couple weeks ago and said he doesn't like running out of the shotgun. We all know that this pistol formation, it's a bunch of crap. I mean, only a few teams really have the personnel to run it. It's just not a successful running formation. And so with Brock Osweiler in there, you're seeing Denver make a much more concerted effort to run the football. And I think as long as Osweiler's in there, certainly Denver is going to continue to lean on their two running backs. So he has some value for owners. This had to be a huge sigh of relief unless you didn't have him in your lineup, and especially if you end up losing. That one really had to hurt. Eddie Lacy, starting to come on a little bit now. I'm not going to say strong. I think the matchups in particularly is which helped him out. You know, we've seen the Minnesota as a team that's vulnerable against the run. Tevin Coleman, the backup for Atlanta yesterday, had a buck 14 on the ground. Lacy, back-to-back 100-yard games. Obviously, for the first time all season that he's really done anything, had a costly fumble. But you look at his upcoming schedule, you know, at Detroit, might be a little bit more difficult than anticipated. His Lions defense has woken up all of a sudden, but I think week 14 at home against Dallas, you know, week 15 at Oakland, you like those matchups, but in the championship rounds, could be a little tricky with Eddie Lacy. He's at Arizona week 16. He's playing at home against Minnesota, again, likely for that division title. And so, man, he's a guy that certainly has some value now. I would not get overly elated or beside myself, but you got to play the matchups. I think really with the exception of week 16 at Arizona, unless you see something again, you might have some better options by now at Detroit. I think a flex play at the least. Good to see him finally getting on track for your fantasy team. On Thanksgiving Day, had a buckle 5 on the ground, 34 yards, a reception in the air. Had some points taken off because of the fumble, but still finished third amongst fantasy running backs for week 12. A guy that I really like, and I think this now is a situation where you just got to wait and see. I think a committee is certainly going to be on hand when you look at Sharkandrick West's ability to catch out of the backfield. But Spencer Ware, and I had the luxury of picking this guy up off the waiver wire in one of my main leagues as soon as I heard he was starting, plugged him in. And what a great performance by this guy. I mean, 114 on only 19 carries. Had the most yards, aside from Adrian Peterson, rushing the football this week. Got in the end zone. three catches out of the backfield. Didn't do much with those. Bills linebackers and safeties very active, but you have to be impressed. After bundling up 96 yards and two TDs in about a quarter of play the week before against San Diego, comes back and immediately gets to work. And so as we've talked about all year, if you play for the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to be successful. Jamaal Charles, he eats in this system. We've seen now Davis have a ton of success in Charles's absence in prior years. Charchandrick West comes in this year, and he turns into a top 10 fantasy running back. And here is Spencer Ware. So the true question now is, watching the status of Charchandrick West's hamstring injury, and then is this going to turn into a committee? We see it happen all the time. We've seen it happen at least the first game back with Jeremy Langford and Matt Forte over in Chicago. And so in my estimation, I think we've just got to keep an ear to the street. I'll definitely do what I can to get some official word from Kansas City, but great opening game for Spencer Ware. And, you know, if you're like me, you're hoping that this guy is going to continue to get the full workload. Again, the Kansas City Chiefs, they have one of the most favorable playoff schedules for Alex Smith, for Travis Kelce, for whoever the running back is, for Jeremy Maclin, if they decide to continue to give him the double-digit targets, and for their defense, and for Cairo Santos. Look, week 13 at Oakland, 14 San Diego at home, at Baltimore week 15. You finish out the season with Cleveland and Oakland. So this is a team that's playing with a ton of confidence. You are certainly expecting them to find themselves in a wild card spot. I mean, they could very easily go 5-0 down the stretch. And Spencer Ware is a guy who is now on the radar, and it's going to have a big time effect if he remains starter in your fantasy matchups. D'Angelo Williams, nice job by him. As we talked about, Seahawks don't give it up on the ground. Only had 8 rushes for 29 yards, but did find the end zone on a short 2 or 3 yard plunge and had 88 yards through the air. So D'Angelo Williams is a guy like Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he puts up Le'Veon Bell type numbers. If you look at every game that D'Angelo Williams has started this year, double digits, 4 out of those 5 games. He's up over 12 points. So nice job by D'Angelo Williams. You love the matchups week 13 against Indianapolis, you know, week 14 against Cincinnati. I think you'll sit him out week 15 against Denver, but very, very, very favorable matchups in week 16 and 17 at Baltimore and at Cleveland. Chris Ivory got back on track, 87 yards in the TD. He just wreaked havoc on the Miami Dolphins this year and really was having a average game at best, was down right around 40 yards until he ended up popping off that big 35 or 40-yarder at the end where he just ran over and through and ended up outrunning about 6 different Dolphins. What an embarrassment that was, but able to get back on track. And I know it's been rough going for Chris Ivory, but he's still one of the most solid plays in fantasy football this year. He's got 3 out of his last 4 games. He's up over double digits in 5 out of his last 7. If it wasn't for a very bad showing, which was for the Jets offense in general, week 11 at Houston, only 3 points. And then when Ryan Fitzpatrick went down and the Raiders got well ahead of the Jets, they just kind of turned away from that football game. He only had 3 points. You look at Ivory, great matchups. Really, the next 3 weeks at the Giants, Tennessee comes to town, week 15 at Dallas before it may get a little rough with the Patriots and the Bills to end his schedule. But definitely the next 3 weeks, this is a guy who's going to be a must-start for your lineups. Now, all of a sudden, Brandon Bolden. We thought it was going to be James White, but it ended up being Brandon Bolden. And you're going to have to excuse me. Let me get over to the wide receivers because that's where he did his damage, was through the air. And you know what? He may not – let me see. I apologize. He may not even be listed as a wide receiver. Give me a moment here. Let's pull up at the yardage. Yep, he's a running back. And so his damage came through the air. You have to excuse me. I'm on ESPN.com. And you know what? I apologize. I'm looking in the wrong column there. There it is. So for Brandon Bolden, 4 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. You do not expect that weekly. You know, I think this is certainly matchup-based. Now, look, if Rob Gronkowski is out, then I think Bolden is in the fold. But you just never know with New England. We all thought, and that was what offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel said. He said that upon Deion Lewis getting hurt, when you went to the Patriots website, McDaniel said that James White was going to be the guy to take over that role. And it has not happened, at least on a consistent basis. So it's a roll of the die. You don't know what you're going to get from New England Weekly. Likely James White or Bolden will end up on this list. I'm not going to try to figure the situation out. Best of luck to you if you do, but nice job by Brandon Bolden. For the second time in 3 weeks, if you think back to the first game that Deion Lewis got hurt, similar wheel route out the backfield that Bolden's able to outrun the linebacker and take it to the house. So nice job by him. Shady McCoy, nice all-around performance. You love the value that he's giving you now here late in the season. This is his fourth straight game with double digits against KC's tough run defense, 19 carries, 70 yards, but also had 31 receiving yards and a touchdown out of the air to give you 14 points. Did lose a fumble, so that certainly helped him. But McCoy, he's really been solid all year. I mean, you look at what he's done for you, 8 points, 10 points, 8 points, missed a couple games, 15, 9, and then four straight weeks of double digits. And this week at home against Houston could be tough, but you can't sit him. He's too talented, especially with his ability out of the backfield. And I think even more now, we know that Carlos Williams of the Bills suffered a shoulder injury. And so I don't know if Bobby Dixon is going to get that goal line work. But after week 13, you look at Shady McCoy in your playoff rounds, week 14 at Philadelphia, you know he's going back to Philadelphia motivated. And Rex Ryan is going to make sure he gets the full workload there. Week 15 at Washington, you love that matchup. Week 16 with Dallas coming in, their season should be well done by that time. They're not going to want to come out to the cold in Buffalo. Week 17 at home against the Jets, and he should have a ton of confidence after getting off for a buck 12 on them. So Shady McCoy, a guy, a ton of value, very, very, very favorable playoff schedule. Thomas Rawls continues to be steady as they go, 21 carries, 81 yards, a touchdown. Look, until Marshawn Lynch comes back, he's going to put up the numbers. Next week at Minnesota, tough against the run. But he gets the goal line carries. He's going to get 20-plus yards. He's involved in the passing game. Next couple games, you like that. Week 14 at Baltimore, week 15 at Cleveland. You're figuring for the stretch run, Marshawn Lynch will be back. So take full advantage of Thomas Rawls while you have him now. Droyke Bell got involved with that blowout against Philadelphia. We're not going to read too much into that situation. If it wasn't for a goal line plunge, he would have been right around 7 points. So let's not get carried away there. Alfred Blue, he was one of my top fantasy sleeper picks, and really wasn't even a sleeper, just matchup based. You heard me talk about Alfred Blue. I told you on Extra Points last week. You heard me on Facebook. I said, look, you're probably not going to play Alfred Blue much this year. The Texans, a team, very difficult running the football. He only had 77 yards, but you knew a goal line opportunity or a short. You just knew it was in the cards for him this week. You look at his upcoming schedule, and he's a guy who he's got minimal value. You don't like the matchup at Buffalo. They're tough against the run. New England, very, very – I don't want to say New England's tough against the run, but I think just based on that matchup, you'll be a little iffy there. I think week 16 at Tennessee, week 17 at home against Jacksonville. Alfred Blue's a guy. Most trade deadlines are gone. And so if you have him on your team, play the matchups. This is one where you definitely should have had him in the game yesterday. Theo Reddick, like I said, steady as they come. He's been the best back for Detroit this year. I'd love to see what he could do if he got the full workload. There's no question in my mind that he could get you double digits. Not a guy who's going to do a ton for you on the ground, but had 5 catches for 62 yards. Matt Stafford loves to utilize him underneath once they get inside the red zone. And then rounding out our top 10, this was not the week for running backs. Jeremy Langford, 10 points. Again, in that timeshare now with Matt Forte. And so his value certainly diminished. Only 48 yards on 12 carries. End up being the guy to get the goal line carry to help him to 10 points. And then Ronnie Hillman, 14 carries for 59 yards. Had a nice 19-yard scamper for a touchdown. Now let's take a look at your duds from week 12 around the NFL. And LeGarrette Blount, we expected that. I strongly advise people to sit him against Denver. You see that with New England. When they play a team that's stout against the run, they don't even try. He only had 9 carries for 27 yards. Tom Brady will just choose to put the game in his hands, and they'll win or lose that way. Ahmad Bradshaw was a guy who had a little bit of value. He's gone again. One of the most injury-prone players in NFL history. He's gone again. So only 2 points. He's on IR the rest of the year. Darren Sproles with Ryan Matthews, we thought he had some value, did nothing. We know that this Philadelphia Eagles team, you might as well just don't even bother playing their fantasy players. I mean, maybe DeMarco Murray or one of these guys match up, but this is just a team whose morale is in the garbage can. Charles Sims, he's usually much more involved. Only 3 points, that's a bit of a surprise. Shane Vereen, we told you how risky he is. DeMarco Murray, only 14 carries for 30 yards. Again, just attached to that Boo Bird situation in Philadelphia. Danny Woodhead, that was a bit of a shock. Only 3 points. He's a guy who's fallen off the radar as of late, was being really heavily used by Phillip Rivers, but you look at 0 points. Really, you look at his last four outings, had 16 against Chicago, but 3 points against Baltimore, 0 against Kansas City, 3 against Jacksonville. With Denver and Kansas City next on his slate, I think Danny Woodhead, you're going to find him on our fantasy football stock market with his value going down. You know, Frank Gore, he's getting a workload, so you cannot complain about that. 19 carries, but only 24 yards, and you know, I just don't get it. You know, I mean, I guess that run blocking is not the strength of Indianapolis. Gore yet to have a 100-yard game all season long, but he's getting the carries. He's averaging right about 16, 17 carries a game and just not able to turn it into much. With Ahmad Bradshaw gone now, maybe he's a little bit more involved in the passing game. You like the schedule at Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, you know, Houston, at Miami, Tennessee. But he's a guy that you cannot be confident in. I'm looking at only 3 double-digit games for Frank Gore in the season. I'm seeing too many. You know, I see 3. I see 3. I see 6. I see 5. I see 3. You know, there's too many games where he's not efficient, so the trust level certainly cannot be there with him. Matt Forte, first game back, did not get the goal line TD. 15 carries for 44 yards, so him and Jeremy Langford, basically the same amount of yards, but Langford was the one to get the goal line touchdown in that situation. Jonathan Stewart, TJ Yeldon, average numbers with 6 and 7 points respectively. The guy who really shocked me this week was Latavius Murray. I mean, you love 22 carries, but the 59 yards, and yeah, he's a guy I traded for, got hot. You know, if you look at what he did in weeks 7, 8, 9, you know, 85 yards and a touchdown against San Diego, a buck 13 against the Jets, had 96 yards before suffering a concussion in the third quarter. He was well on his way to up over 100 yards against Pittsburgh. But since that time, you look at his last 3 games, has yet to get over 60 yards, only 1 touchdown. And so I've got some concern. You look at his matchups in weeks 13 and 14, you have to play him at home against Kansas City. At Denver, you probably want to take the high road. Week 6, 15 and 16 against Green Bay and San Diego, should be some value there. But Latavius Murray, a guy who's disappointing after getting off to a fairly decent enough of a start. I'm seeing a lot of games just not getting the carries. He's only got 3 games this year where he's got 20 carries. Raiders choosing to pass the football a whole lot more. So he's a guy whose value, unfortunately, is diminishing and diminishing fast. Two guys that we do want to spotlight before we get over. And you know what? Let's just take it over to the NFL Exporter website. Let's go ahead and look at the players who we expected to have an impact on your lineup from the running back position. Adrian Peterson, Tevin Coleman, both over 100 yards. Coleman suffering a fumble, getting a goal line TD call back because of a penalty. Adrian Peterson finding himself in the end zone 2 times. Latavius Murray, Darren McFadden, both of those guys, huge disappointments. The only reason that either one of them were able to give you a modest outing, 23 receiving yards for Murray, McFadden, a 2-point conversion. Spencer Ware, he's right here on the website. We told you this guy was going to have a major impact if he started this week, and he did exactly that, giving fantasy owners what they were looking for, especially if you're an owner like me who's been trying to hold it together at the running back position all year. We told you about Todd Gurley, and we got very vocal about that on Twitter, got very vocal about that on Facebook, letting you know that, look, this is not a knock. But if I'm telling the truth, nobody should take offense. You know, Michael Fabiano from NFL.com had Todd Gurley as the number 2 ranked running back this week. And it's not just about names. You can't just say, well, he's just a great running back, so he's ranked number 2. You've got to look at trends. You've got to look at patterns. You've got to look at matchups. And if you have not noticed lately, teams have caught on to the Rams. They don't have anybody but Todd Gurley. That's all they have. If you can slow him down, you're going to win. I mean, Nick Foles, Case Keenum at quarterback. I mean, outside of Tavon Austin, who got in the end zone yesterday, and we got to give Tavon his credit because he's really the only one really making a difference on that Rams offense in the passing game. But come on, Kenny Britt and Brian Quick. I mean, these guys are just flat-out bums. And Ty Gurley had no business at all being ranked against a very good and sound Cincinnati defense. Cincinnati was on a two-game skid. You knew Cincinnati was going to come back home. And it's just about the matchup. It's not a knock on Gurley, but he had no business whatsoever being ranked second on anybody's rankings this week. If you did that, you do not understand fantasy football. John Stewart, DeMarco Murray, we talked about those guys, not the outings that you look for. I think especially Stewart. You know, that was a game against Dallas. Look, he's encouraging because he continues to get 20-plus carries, but he's always a subject to get vultured by Tolbert or Cam Newton around that goal line area, so you have to be cautionary there. Ronnie Hillman, all things considered, you're going to take the double digits, and Ronnie Hillman is a guy who I like right now. I think the value's there despite what C.J. Anderson did. You take a look at Ronnie Hillman this week, and you really take a look at Ronnie Hillman over the last couple games, and he's getting it done for you. Ronnie Hillman, with the exception of the embarrassment, well, I don't even want to say embarrassment, but with the exception of the game in Indianapolis, where Peyton Manning once again put his team behind the eight ball, and both him and C.J. Anderson, for the record, in that game, did absolutely nothing. But Ronnie Hillman has got five out of his last six games, he's in double digits. You know, three of those games, he's finding the end zone. And so him and C.J. Anderson right now, the value is certainly there for those guys. Real quick, a couple other running backs, Lamar Miller, Thomas Rawls, opposite ends of the spectrum. Miller did next to nothing while Rawls pumped in another 14 points for you. Chris Ivory, Shady McCoy, both of those guys in double digits for you this week, finding the end zone, the all-purpose yardage there. And then T.J. Yeldon, Doug Martin, guys who had solid games but just not enough. Martin, 3 yards short of 100 yards, just barely missed on a nice wheel route out of the backfield where Jameis Winston could have put it in a better area. Perhaps he could have scored. Yeldon just gets lost in the shuffle of a Jacksonville Jaguars team that's just too pass happy. When we've seen them, I talked to my guy, shout out James Morris. He covers the Bengals for us on NFL Pure, also covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we text each other. Jacksonville had the ball early in the game, 2nd and 1. And chose to pass the football 2 times. You know, the NFL is just a league right now that is just too pass happy. Guys don't want to commit to the run, and, well, you end up losing football games when that happens. The last guy on our list who actually had the privilege of having a photo shot on there is Javorius Allen of the Baltimore Ravens, and we're all anxious to see him tonight. I believe he was the top waiver wire pickup last week just for the fact that you know he's going to be the starter the rest of the year with Rawls. If Lynch comes back, obviously his workload's going to get cut. With Ware, with Kendrick West coming back, obviously there could be a potential for a committee there. And then with Tevin Coleman, you know when Devonta Freeman gets back, especially with the way that Coleman continues to have issues with fumbling, he's not a long-term solution. But Javorius Allen, the guy who's going to get the full workload, running the football, catching out of the backfield, a team that is completely wiped out with Flacco and Steve Smith Sr. out. And so they're going to rely on this guy in the heaviest way. Let's see if he can get it done for your fantasy football team tonight. All right, look, we're going to run to another quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll tackle the wide receiver position. It's the NFL Exporter. You are listening to The Extra Point. All right, fantasy football owners, welcome back to The Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Here live on Blog Talk Radio, as always, I'm your host, Lance Goodman with NFLExporter.com. Don't forget the call-in number to the show, 626-213-5762. We are here every Monday and Thursday at the top of the week reviewing pretty much everything, all the information we gave out to you on a prior Thursday leading in the kickoff on Sundays. And then we're here on Thursday. We get you fully ready through NFLExporter.com. Through the extra points, we get you ready for your weekly matchups. Let's move over to the wide receiver position now. Doug Baldwin, and again, you don't expect this from Doug Baldwin. Russell Wilson is a guy who spreads the football out an awful lot, but perhaps a trend developing here for Doug Baldwin. Look, he has 7 for 134 and a touchdown 2 weeks ago against Arizona, 6 for 60 against San Francisco, and then yesterday, 6 for 145 in 3 TDs. Now, obviously, if it weren't for the TDs, and I think even if you take away the 80-yarder, he had 6 catches for 64 yards. So I think that is a realistic expectation for Doug Baldwin. If he's able to do that for you on a weekly basis, then yeah, PPR, as far as PPR is concerned, 6 for 60 on average, you'll take that weekly. Got a couple of tough matchups coming up, so I don't know how much you want to read into that. But maybe at Baltimore, secondary is very sorry. Week 14, Cleveland, week 15 at home. Those may be some potential matchups that you to take a look at Doug Baldwin. But I wouldn't invest a lot of stock. I think the key thing we look for is maybe with Jimmy Graham being gone for the season, maybe gets a little more involved. But we've seen Jermaine Kearse score a touchdown yesterday. We know Tyler Lockett is a part of that offense, so real iffy. But great job by Doug Baldwin leading all receivers with 6 for 145. And that last one really busted the gates open for him. Calvin Johnson, we talked about him a bit earlier when we were talking about Matt Stafford, and you know his numbers are up. I think you look at Megatron right now, and let's give this guy the benefit of the doubt. You know, they started off the season slow. Found himself in some extremely tough matchups, playing against Denver, playing against Seattle, playing against Arizona. But you look at Megatron since week 6, where he had 6 catches, a 166 and a touchdown, and he has not seen less than 80 yards in any game. 86 against Minnesota TD, 5 for 85 against Kansas City, 6 for 81 against Green Bay, 5 for 88 against Oakland, 8 for 93 and 3 TDs against Philly. So, you know, he's starting to round back into form. I don't see any reason that you need to risk him, sit him, I should say, and you love him in your championship rounds. Week 15 at New Orleans, week 16 San Francisco coming to town, week 17 at Chicago. I fully expect for Calvin Johnson to have a huge impact on your fantasy lineups in the playoffs. Sammy Watkins, we just want to see the trend continue. We're not going into detail with Sammy Watkins. We want to see the trend continue. Every time that Sammy Watkins has a noteworthy game, the next week or week or two, he's invisible. And I think what's at least encouraging here is it wasn't that long of a stretch. You know, he had a 168 and a TD against Miami the next 2 weeks. And look, at Revis Island, we'll kind of understand that AFC East Division matchup there. At New England, inexcusable, 3 for 39. But we just want to wait and see. There's no reason against Houston, Philadelphia, Washington, Dallas. There's no reason that Sammy Watkins should not produce unless he does not get the targets. And that's been the one thing that's been inconsistent with him throughout his entire career. Marcus Wheaton, another guy, not going to spend a lot of time on matchup-based. You know, I think obviously if Bryant or Brown were to go down, you may take a look at him there, but you do not expect for Marcus Wheaton to even really be a guy to talk about on a weekly basis. That matchup truly determined his output this year. Brandon Marshall, we told you as well, great playoff schedule the next 3 weeks, the Giants, Tennessee, Dallas. It's going to continue to garner the targets. It's going to continue to be a monster. He's got a touchdown now in 4 straight games, and just looking good. We know that Brandon Marshall, one of the best in the business. Seth Roberts for the Oakland Raiders, a tricky play, but you have to understand matchups. That's truly what these games come down to. And yesterday, Michael Crabtree caught a touchdown early, so the defense kind of latched onto him. You know, the defenses are always keeping a close eye on Amari Cooper, who still was able to get up over 100 yards. Seth Roberts this week, like Marcus Wheaton, playing at Seattle. Jericho Cotri for Carolina at Dallas. Sometimes it's about the matchup that is most suitable for the game, and there's no question that Seth Roberts was the guy, especially on his final touchdown reception, that had the best matchup and had the least experienced and least talented secondary player on him. So nice job by Seth Roberts. Jeremy Maclin, this is a guy we want to put an asterisk by his name. Stat of the day for you, Jeremy Maclin, and I know because I own him in 2 leagues. I sat him yesterday based on matchup and so on and so forth. Obviously, if his targets were more consistent, you would feel more comfortable about playing Jeremy Maclin. But let me put it to you this way. This year with Jeremy Maclin, in the games where he has received double-digit targets, Green Bay, Cincinnati, Chicago, and yesterday against Buffalo, he is averaging 133 receiving yards per game with 2 touchdowns. In the other 8 matchups where he's receiving single-digit targets, usually around 5 or 6, he's only averaging 45 yards per game. And so, like Sammy Watkins, he's a guy you have a ton of concern about. Are the targets going to be there weekly? You know, what was it? What magical happened yesterday that all of a sudden Kansas City wanted to push the football down the field? I think it's the fact that they got down early, 10-0 in that game, and Sammy Watkins was hitting on a deep ball. And so Jeremy Maclin probably said, hey, you know, what's up? I can do the same thing. So if, and we are keeping our fingers crossed, again, this is one of the best playoff schedules that you can have this week. Oakland, then San Diego, then at Baltimore, you finish at Cleveland and Oakland. And so, I mean, I don't see any reason whatsoever that Jeremy Maclin should not be productive unless Kansas City wants to go back into its shell of a dink and dump, slow, you know, grinded out offense. If that's the case, and I think that's what makes Maclin risky. But I think we've seen earlier in the year when he had a big game, Alex Smith, the offense looked to attack that as well. And this week at Oakland should be a great opportunity for him to cash in again. Jarvis Landry, and again, game flow really dictated this for Landry. As we told you, the Jets, or Miami, I should say, got down in this game 21-0. When you're down at that, when you're down 21-0, then obviously you're going to just pass the ball. And so that's what had his numbers balloons to the tune of 13 for 165 and a touchdown. And I know for a fact Landry really helped or hurt a lot of owners in their lineups. I played against them, him and Odell Beckham Jr., and they just absolutely killed me. I know another guy in my league who lost by a small amount and played against Jarvis Landry. So he's a guy that, you know, you look at his schedule, he's a great flex play. You know that if nothing else. Landry's a guy who is almost assured, you know, 50 to 60 yards on average. And you look at his next three games with Baltimore and the Giants in San Diego, you have to feel good about his prospects. T.Y. Hilton, he's a guy who's been up and down and all over the place all season long. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary is definitely one to exploit if you can take advantage of it. We've seen some quarterbacks just not be able to do it. But they're a team that's stout against the run, but their secondary is a liability. Hilton 6 for 95, 2 TDs, and you'd have to think at least the next 2 weeks at Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, very similar secondaries, young, not that talented, and I should, and I don't have them, I should say fantasy owners should feel very confident based off of that game we've seen. But he's been all over the place. You look at some of the other games where Matt Hasselbeck was in, you know, 5 for 88, 7 for 67. So I guess it hasn't been too bad. Just really depends on what the defense has allowed. And I think these next 2 weeks, based off of what we've seen this week, Hasselbeck should continue to look Hilton's way. Odell Beckham Jr., I salute this guy. He is the truth. You know, we all were wondering about Odell Beckham Jr. He's a one-hit wonder, sophomore slump. You know that he's going to be the number one thing that defenses look to stop. You know, did he just catch people off guard? No, this guy is the truth. I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This was his 600-yard game of the year. And he's just getting it done, man. He's amongst the league leaders in touchdowns. 20 points, 9 for a buck 42 in a touchdown yesterday. This week against the Jets could be a little tricky, but I think he garners enough targets, and he's such a big play guy that you really don't worry about him. I think the two matchups that you will have concern, week 15 with Carolina coming to town, they're probably going to at that point be serious, the Panthers, at trying to lock up home field advantage in the playoffs, and then week 16 at Minnesota. And we've seen Minnesota be able to take a Julio Jones out of the lineup yesterday. We've seen Minnesota be able to limit what Calvin Johnson can do. So that's tough when that's week 15 and 16. Too talented to sit out, but you're certainly going to taper expectation there. A.J. Green back in the fold for us yesterday, rounding out your top receivers. Not a lot of yards, 61, but was able to haul in 2 touchdowns, and that's what's most important. Good to see him back working out at the slot some too. If you notice yesterday, you know, Brandon Marshall, Calvin Johnson, you know, you move these guys around and they're able to have a lot more ability for you when they're coming out of that slot, being able to get a little bit more of a free release off the line and being matched up against linebackers and safety. That's a trend that we've certainly seen developing a lot over the last couple years. Some other guys who are certainly worth some honorable mentions, we're talking about Stevie Johnson. He was a guy I just missed out on. It came down to him or Spencer Ware on the waiver wire last week. Obviously, I'm going to go with the running. Johnson finally able to live up to the expectations with the 10 targets. 7 catches, 92 yards, and a touchdown. You certainly expect for him to continue to be heavily involved, kind of filling in for that Keenan Allen role. Martavius Bryant, only 5 for 69 through the air, did have an 11-yard TD run. He really should have been up towards 100 yards, dropped about a 25-yard pass that if he would have hauled in, would have came down and been able to pick up some extra yardage there. Also, DeSean Jackson, Eric Decker, both of those guys must start for you weekly. Jackson with his big playability, and Decker just flat out gets the targets. When we take a look at our receivers who were major disappointments for you this week in your fantasy lineups, we are taking a look. Excuse me there. Computer kind of our monitor slow down for a minute. Yeah, and let's go ahead and start here. Apologize. We don't want to make sure we don't miss anybody. We told you about Michael Floyd of the Arizona Cardinals. Played yesterday, but he was coming back off a hamstring injury. There was just no need to risk injury. You know, there was really no need for him to be in your lineup. If he was going to do anything, he was going to do it early. Dez Bryant, we all seen that debacle on Thursday, on Thanksgiving, and you got to be concerned. Now with Romo back out, Castle back in that quarterback, Dez's value going down the drain. I think this week at Washington is a prime opportunity, but just doesn't look good in general. I know that they play they play Green Bay, they play the Jets, they play Buffalo. So Dez Bryant, I think this guy, you're just kind of looking at his fantasy year being a wash. Stephon Diggs, very much a disappointment. And, you know, it's not his ability. It's just the style. It's just the team that he's on. But, I mean, you thought it was encouraging when you've seen him get 6 for 87 at Denver, 7 for 129 against KC, 6 for 108 at Detroit, 6 for 95 and a touchdown at Chicago. And then it just dwindled away. 3 for 42 St. Louis, 2 for 46 Oakland. You know, you'll take the 66 yards against Green Bay, but I mean, this week at Seattle, I mean, with Seattle coming in, then at Arizona, this is probably a guy you're going to pack it in until the later rounds, your fantasy playoff. Just disappointing. You hate to see some of these guys with a ton of talent, as evidenced this week by Jeremy Maclin and Sammy Watkins. When you don't get to targets, you just can't be productive. Brandon Cooks, you knew what was coming. Again, just the matchup not there. You know, a lot of people high on him this week. You cannot just go based off a name. You got to look at the matchup. That was a death trap going out there against Houston the way that they're playing this year. Demaryius Thomas, you know, he's going to be a guy who's going to struggle. Now, look, he had 13 targets, so you cannot complain about that, but only able to haul in 1 for 36. So, look, he's going to continue to be in the fold, but you're certainly going to taper expectations. Emmanuel Sanders, who works out of the slot a lot more, much more success with Brock Osweiler. And that's kind of the way it's been for Demaryius Thomas all year. Brandon LaFell, I think based on the weapons that are around him, but again, you looked at the matchup at Denver, you know that receivers just don't get off on them. Allen Hurns, this is a guy who's been a major disappointment. I think, you know, Tennessee and San Diego, certainly some big-time matchups on the table for him. Only comes away with, 61 receiving yards. But he ripped off 7 straight TDs, and obviously defense is playing him a lot more attention. He's a guy who really banged up. I think you have to be concerned now. He came in, he's been battling that abdominal injury all year, left out of yesterday's game with a concussion. Allen Hurns, ultra-talented. But in a situation right now where the cards just don't seem to be stacking up in his favor, let's move over. I apologize for the slight pause there. Just waiting for our monitor to catch up with us here. And don't forget, go to NFLExporter.com. We're going to hop over there in 1 second and take a look at what wide receivers we expected to have an impact for you in your fantasy matchups this week to see how they fared. We're just come on, computer screen. What are you doing here? All right. Here we go. Let's take a look at our duds. Gosh, this monitor is just moving at an all-time slow here. All right, here we go. Some other receivers who were disappointments for you this week. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins only 3 points, 5 for 36. But again, the Saints just doubled him. I think for Brown, Jones, and Hopkins, who are your top fantasy wide receivers this year, you're going to have to expect some games. And look, Julio got 7 targets, Antonio 12, DeAndre 8. You just have to understand when you're that dominant of a receiver, when teams sit down and watch film, there's just going to be some games where the defense is just going to elect to do whatever it is that they have to do to eliminate you from being productive. And that's exactly what happened with all of those guys. They're all studs. You're starting weekly. You just have to live with the numbers. Mike Evans, 5 for 64. Like I said, he's just had the dropsies this year. He's got to work on his hands in the offseason. Did get 10 targets, so that's extremely encouraging there. Larry Fitzgerald, 10 catches for 66 yards. The PPR value certainly brought it in, 14 targets. Again, another guy you don't worry about. It's going to continue to do well for you. Hopping over to NFLExporter.com, receivers that we thought would have an impact for you. I'm not going to run through them all because we're getting a little pressed for time here. Let's talk about the guys who had the biggest impacts in a bad way. Julio Jones, Allen Hurns, Larry Fitzgerald, unless it was PPR, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Randall Cobb, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, all of these guys really did not help out your cause a lot. But the guys who certainly did have the impact you were looking for, A.J. Green, Allen Robinson, Calvin Johnson, Amari Cooper, Eric Decker, Odell Beckham Jr., and Martavius Bryant, and DeSean Jackson, all of those guys able to find pay dirt. All right, look, let's run the one last commercial break. It's the NFL Exporter. You're listening to Extra Points. Don't go anywhere. We're going to come back and wrap up our show talking tight ends, defense special teams, and kickers. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Extra Points Fantasy Football Show. Real quickly here, as we are just approaching kickoff in our big game tonight between the Browns and Ravens. And again, it's not big in the sense of the game itself. Both of these teams are well out of the playoff hunt, but certainly there's some fantasy guys who are going to dictate wins and losses tonight. Your top tight ends, Antonio Gates, 4 catches, 53 yards, 2 TDs. Julius Thomas, good to see him get in the fold. If Hearns misses the games, he got 10 targets yesterday. This is a matchup that I really think Jacksonville needs to concentrate more on exploiting, especially in a red zone, an area they struggle mightily coming out of there with 4 field goals. If they could have just converted one more touchdown, they could have won that game. Rob Gronkowski, we're hearing good news that the injury does not seem serious. I think Philly, New England will be smart to just sit him for one game, but 6 for 88 and a touchdown. Vance McDonald, this is the guy that you're looking at right now. It's going to be one of your top waiver wire pickups of the week. Look, the guy, touchdowns and back-to-back games, and Blaine Gabbert is looking for him. If you need some help at the tight end position, no guarantees, but this is a guy who can essentially help you. Other names that stand out, I'm not going to go through, you know, Ryan Griffin for Houston, Scott Chandler for New England. Now, he's a guy who, if Rob Gronkowski misses a game, you certainly want to look at him for a week. Cameron Brate, we're starting to see him come on strong. Another touchdown yesterday for young Jameis Winston with Austin Seferian Jenkins still battling injury. He's a guy that you like. Tyler Eifert, Delaney Walker, Jordan Reed, Greg Olsen, all of those guys should be in your lineups weekly. You can see that they're top 10 locks for the tight end position. Moving over to defense special teams, your top defense yesterday, or this week, I should say, was the Carolina Panthers. We've seen them dominate on Thanksgiving. The Cincinnati Bengals, I happened to see them on the waiver wire last minute. You knew the matchup was right for a picking. We're all over the Rams yesterday. Leon Hall taking a touchdown back to the house, 16 points for them. Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, Indianapolis Colts, all of those defenses are trending up. I think you trust Indianapolis more at home. The Lions and Vikings, the Vikings have been steady all year long, and the Lions are playing much better. The Raiders, the Redskins, and the Texans, those were your other defenses to get double digits. Without question, that Houston Texans defense is trending up as well. Defenses that were disappointments, -5 for the Dolphins, -4 for the Eagles, -3 for the Bills, -2 for the Steelers, -1 for the Giants. Anytime you're negative, it's not good. Patriots only 1 point defensively. Falcons a little bit of a shock there, only 1 point. I mean, you know all you got to do is stop Adrian Peterson. The Chiefs only 2 points. The Seahawks only 3 points. The Jets only 5. So some of your more dominant defenses not showing up for you this week as well. And then last but not least, your top kickers for fantasy football this week. Get that monitor a moment to come up here. And your top kickers, Graham Gano, he's probably about the steadiest play right now. You know, Steven Hauschka's a guy I'm advising you to really think about dropping or replacing. If you look at Graham Gano, that was the value of Steven Hauschka, being on a team with a stout defense, with an offense that doesn't convert a high number of red zone opportunities, but gets the ball a lot because of a dominant defense, staying in good field position. Graham Gano is your prototype kicker right now, leading the way with 18 points. Adam Bennett, Jason Myers, 15 points respectively. Myers is another guy you want to watch. Jacksonville moving the ball a ton, not able to convert in the red zone. We know that Cairo Santos is going to always be a top 10 candidate for Kansas City. Chris Boswell, Matt Prater, your other kickers able to find double digits. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are right down to the wire. So we are out of here. Make sure you're with me this Thursday, December 3rd. It'll be Green Bay and Detroit. I am the NFL Exporter signing out. 1100.